end with that one.
Okay.
Well, it's good to see you this morning, brothers and sisters. Are you glad to be here? I am too. I know it would be easier if we didn't have to leave the house, but that's the way it goes, I guess. I'm glad to see you, and I want to welcome all of you to our service this morning, whether you're online this morning on Facebook in the comfort of your home or here. It's pretty comfortable here too, actually. It's just a little chilly between home and here. If you've got your Bibles, Romans 1, 16 and 17 is where we're going today. And let me say a couple of things before we get there. I got up some this morning before 6. I was ready to go worship the Lord, spend some time with Him. And I noticed when I got up out from under my cozy little covers, the house was a little chilly. And I went to the thermostat and got ready to turn it up, and I thought, man, it's just over 60. That's not that warm. And I turned it up, and it wouldn't go. That's the second time this week. The first time, the vent was plugged with snow after we got whatever it was, 16 inches. So I thought, well, now what's wrong? Surely the vent is not plugged again. And I went to look at the indoor-outdoor thermometer, and mine said 38 below. And I said, that can't be. So I start boiling water, thinking if it's that cold, we have a vapor lock tank again. I didn't want to stir my beloved. I figured she was safest under the covers. So I began boiling water, and she got up in a little while, and I had the stove going to warm up the house and had some kettles of water boiling. I've been through this before when it gets down around 40 below. It gets vapor locked, and the gas won't flow through the regulators. And so anyway, I started making treks to the tank, and I decided I would just verify, is it really this cold? So I took a mercury thermometer out of the garage, and I put it outside while I'm making trips back and forth trying to thaw out the tank. And on one of the last trips, we were messing with it for probably an hour before it took off. And one of the last trips, I looked at that mercury thermometer, it said 41 below. And I asked myself, self, why do I live here? And why do I live in the coldest place south of International Falls? And I know some of you didn't have anywhere near that cold, but our gas wouldn't have froze up if it wouldn't have been around 40, because it doesn't freeze up till it gets around 40 below. And so then I thought, why are we even having church? And then I remembered, as we just sung, behold, our God is worthy of our praise. And could we do it on a Sunday morning from the comforts of our sofas? Yes, we could. But he said in his word, do not forsake the assembling together of the saints. And so we've come together to worship him. Yes, it's cold out, and I'm thankful. I've prayed for your journeys here today. I'm thankful we've made it. I'm thankful there are people watching on Facebook Live. But it is good for us to be in the house of the Lord. It is good for us to come together collectively like this and worship Him. He is worthy. And so thank you for coming on this cold, cold morning. Quite frankly, I don't know how cold it is. It's cold enough. And it might get colder. Not tomorrow, the next day, but yet this winter. But I thank the Lord when I saw, I was standing outside looking into my beloved who was in the warmer house than it was outdoors. And I saw steam coming from the exhaust, and I wasn't sure it was enough. And I looked into her and I gave her, is it going or not? And she gave me the thumbs up, so I came back inside. God is good, though, really. Amen? Amen? We got warm homes, and we got warm cars, and we've got warm clothes, and we got food in our fridge, and God is good. God is really, really good. In your hands, you've got a newsletter today, and those of you who are watching Facebook Live, perhaps we'll send out a few tomorrow, because I'm sure there'll be lots of them left, but in the newsletter for this brand new month and brand new year, I quoted Isaiah 1:4. Let me read it for us again from the NIV. It says this, "Ah, sinful nation," this is Isaiah, this is 700 years or so before Christ. "Ah, sinful nation," he writes, "a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption, they have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their back on him." And as I read that the other day, I thought how similar that seems to be in our times in America today. And I mentioned that in the newsletter with a challenge to you, all of you that would read it. A challenge because I see us paralleling that a lot. I see our times in America very sinful and very much like that, where we have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned our back on him. And I see our time in America paralleling that. And what I'm reminded of in that parallel, in the time that we live, it gives us opportunities in the church to share the gospel of Jesus and to win souls to God. Because of the times we are in, yes, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity is one of the, perhaps, King James Version, a brood of evildoers. I see that as opportunities for the church to be at work for Jesus. And so I've challenged you in your bulletin, in your newsletter, that way, that at a minimum, I pray that we will find somebody in our circle, a neighbor or a family person or a coworker or somebody in our circle, that we will write their name down on a piece of paper and put it in our Bible, and we will pray for them daily. And we will continue to pray for them until God stirs within them some passion to come to him. And we will keep praying for them till they come to know Christ. That's my challenge to you for this year. It's in the newsletter. Could you imagine for a moment if we, his people, who have surrendered our lives to Christ, would find one or two and pray fervently and fast for them in 2022 until they come to the Lord? Could you imagine if every one of us prayed for that one and God rescued that many? You know how many more believers that would be by January 1st in 2023, should he tarry? A lot. Significant if we would do just one. You might say, "Jim, that ain't my gift." Or you might think, "Well, I don't know how to lead someone to the Lord." And those might be legitimate arguments for some, but very few. Because if you have been born again, if you have been surrendered to Christ, and you are that new creation in Christ, you have a story to tell somebody. Amen? There is a story to tell of who you used to be outside of Christ versus who you are today in Jesus. And somebody in your path needs to hear your story so they can see the hand of God, the miraculous, heart-changing, eternal, direction-changing God that we serve. Somebody needs to hear your story. In 2022, I pray that you will find somebody to pray for and tell them about Jesus. We can make all excuses we want, But we live in a time, as Isaiah described, a sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt in and out of the church, a people that has turned our backs on him. It is time that the church start telling people about the good news. In Romans 1, and I know we've been in Romans already, but I love this verse because it goes along with what I've already said. In Romans chapter 1, 16 is a great verse that says this. Paul is speaking to the church, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, just for simplicity, maybe, if nothing else. But here's what he said, and I want to challenge you with this verse. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The New Living Translation says, translate the gospel to the good news, because that's what it is. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. And Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Now listen to what he says next. Here's my point for the church. The good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Are you hearing him this morning, friends? How can somebody that doesn't know Christ know the good news unless we tell them? It's the good news. It's the good news of Jesus that sets the captives free. And Paul says the good news tells us how God makes us right in his eyes. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. How are people going to know the good news unless the church starts talking about the good news? That's my challenge for us this year. The harvest fields are ripe. You look at the whole of Isaiah chapter 1, there's a lot more than there in there that he's got to say. And it parallels so closely what we are living in today. And it's a time not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. It's a time for the church to say, as Paul, I am not ashamed, and I will tell somebody about the good news. And I pray that this year we will take that challenge and do something with it. How many have heard the name George Whitefield? Not too many, some of you. George Whitefield was a good man. He was a good friend, actually, to John Wesley. They're both men of the 1700s. Whitefield was an evangelist, a man of God, used powerfully by God to win tens of thousands of souls to Christ, first in England and then in America. I think he's a little younger than Wesley, just a little bit. But they were friends with one another. And they were both used by God in powerful ways to win people to Christ. Now I'm going to make a little sidebar here for 1 minute, then we'll get back to Whitefield. Whitefield and Wesley were good friends. They had many conversations, but they did not always agree on interpretation of Scripture. They were men of God. Brilliant in their understanding, but different. Exceptional in their ability to lead tens of thousands of people to Jesus Christ, but they did not see eye to eye on some doctrinal issues. Why in the world do I bring that up? Remember what I said last week about John 17. Remember what Jesus' prayer for the church was. Who remembers? Thank you. Two or three of you remember. His prayer was that we would be one. Wesley and Whitefield had a differing opinion of some matters, scripturally speaking, but God used them. They loved each other in spite of that. And God used them in miraculous ways to lead tens of thousands of people to Jesus. That's just a little sidebar going along with what we talked about last week. Now back to Whitefield and the story that I'm getting to. I read this story a while back from the book called From This Verse. It's a little devotional book. It goes like this. One day in 1742, British evangelist George Whitefield was invited by a Quaker coal merchant to preach at the county fair at Marylebone Field, just west of London. The Quaker said, "I'll even build you a platform." When Whitefield and his wife arrived at the fairgrounds, the sun had already set and the crowds seemed rowdy. Brawny prize fighters challenged all comers. That's what they did in the 1700s at the county fair, I guess. They fought one another. So the story goes, brawny prize fighters challenged all comers to bare-fisted fights in rings everywhere. Gambling booths were plentiful as fireflies, and the liquor flowed freely. Whitefield seldom displayed fear, but that evening he was visibly nervous as he mounted the Quaker's rickety platform. As he raised his magnificent voice, wisps of people began gathering. The crowds at the nearby booths thinned, then emptied as Whitefield waxed louder. Shortly into his message, he saw a small army of battered, bare-chested fighters marching towards him, blood in their eyes. His voice faltered, but suddenly he felt a tug in his gown. His wife, Elizabeth, had whispered up to him, looking at him in his pulpit, and she simply said, "Play the man of God." Boldness surged through Whitefield, the story says, and he shouted, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Romans 1:16. He shouted, his voice ringing over Babel and Bedlam. He goes on, "It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." He threw up his arms in a dramatic gesture and his platform nearly collapsed. The fighters noticed Whitefield's wobbly platform and they began crowding forward, hoping to make it topple. But a group of Christians formed a circle around the platform and around the evangelist, and Whitefield carried on, preaching as though on the deck of a tossing ship. A rock thrown struck him in the face. Then a rotten egg also. Then a handful of horse manure. Still he preached on, his words flying like missiles into the crowd. By the way, don't get any ideas here. Some people began to pray and others melted into tears, and still he preached on. At last, his work done, the 27-year-old evangelist climbed down from his perch, escorted by friends, tried to get to his carriage, and a young man with a sword lunged at him, brandishing the sword. But it was deflected by a friend's cane. Whitefield had played, in fact, the man of God. That little story I read the other day, and I was thinking about that story when I was thinking about Romans chapter 1. And I was thinking that sometime throughout the year, if we are in fact led by the Spirit of God and bold enough in our approach, we too will share Christ with people throughout this year. You may see opposition. I hope you don't see any horse manure or swords. But you may see opposition. Wesley and Whitefield saw lots of it, and they did not quit. Why? Because they were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And they knew full well it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So they knew that as they continued to proclaim that good news, somebody would hear the Holy Spirit's voice and respond accordingly. And I know we can argue, yeah, but. I'm not an evangelist, Jim. I'm not called by God to reach those multitudes. And you might be right. You might be. Or you might be an evangelist and you haven't listened to the voice of God yet. But to that argument, I am not called to that. I would simply reply, what about praying for and telling one or two this year? What about those one or two names that I mentioned in the newsletter? Praying over them earnestly, passionately, fasting and praying for their salvation. Are we willing in 2022 to do even that? Or are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ with its power to save sinners? There's one more little story I want to share before we go to communion because I think it fits. It's a beautiful little story. I think I've shared it before, and I know that some of you have read it before, but it's a true story, and it fits really, really well with what I'm saying here in the newsletter, what this verse says. Here's what the story is. An old man was doing his daily walk along the beach one morning when he spotted a little boy crouched by the water, scooping up something from the sand and throwing it back into the sea. The beach was normally empty at this time of day, so the old man stopped to watch the boy. He noticed that the boy kept shuffling a little further down the beach, then repeating the same action again and again, stopping, scooping, throwing, then moving. Same action. "What are you doing there, boy?" the old man asked, walking closer. "I'm saving these starfish that are stranded," replied the boy. "If they stay on the beach, they will dry out and die. So I'm putting them back into the ocean so they can live." The old man was silent for a few seconds. "Young man, on this stretch of beach alone, there must be more than 100 stranded starfish. Around the next corner, there must be 1,000 more. This goes on for miles. I've done this walk every day for 10 years, and it's always the same. There must be 1,000,000 stranded starfish. I hate to say it, but you'll never make a difference." The boy scooped up another starfish, tossed it into the sea. The boy replied, "Well, it made a difference to that one." Now think that through about the harvest fields around us. And I'm simply challenging us this morning on the first Sunday of 2022. Followers of Jesus, will we make a difference in the 2022? Will we see those stranded starfish that are really souls whom Jesus died for, struggling their way through life, really longing to live and not even knowing how? Will we see them with our eyes? And will we say, like the Apostle Paul and Whitfield and Wesley and a multitude more, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. I have been born of God, and I am going to share that with somebody. I am going to ask God to give me somebody to share that with." Will we be like the little boy? And will we see those stranded people whom Jesus died for? And will we tell them there's good news and his name is Jesus? Or will we be like the old man and say, "You ain't gonna make no difference"? Or will we scoop up somebody in our heart and in our words and say in response, "It made a difference to that one"? And so I simply ask us today, friends, to ponder as this new year unfolds before us, assuming he's going to give us a year, Jesus may come or death may come. Death happens regularly in these parts lately, you may have noticed. But assuming he gives us this year, what will we do with it? How will we spend our time? Hiding Jesus in our pockets as if we were ashamed of the Son of God who died for us? Or will we say like Whitfield, even when the horse manure of life comes our way, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation for people. You say, Jim, that's for Whitfield and that's for preachers. That's for the church. The church is the one exposed to that neighbor and that neighbor and that coworker and that person. And it must be the church's obligation and prerogative and burden to say, like Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And recognize it is the gospel that we share with somebody else that will be the salvation of God that rescues them. I pray that in 2022, we will make a difference to somebody's. I pray that we will make a difference to those stranded starfish types that will die in their sin unless somebody tells them about Jesus. I pray that the church will take that call to arms and be the hands, the feet, and the voice of Jesus this year. Our nation needs it like we've never needed it before. Our nation needs Jesus. And I pray that we will be about telling others about Jesus this year. Amen. Friends, before I close us in prayer, I just want to ask again, do you know that you know if today was it, you'd be going home to glory? Because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross, you've repented of sin. You've received him by faith. You've committed, I'm going to follow Jesus. Because if you haven't, you should. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. And so if you're here today and you've never got right with God through faith in Christ, may I encourage you, do it today. Whether you want help with that or whether you want to do it in the quiet of your home, repent of sin, believe on the Lord Jesus, receive him by faith, and commit, I'm going to follow Jesus. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. The rest of us, may we go into the harvest fields and recognize we have a story to tell somebody, and when you tell that story, God will rescue them. May we go into this year with confidence and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to all who will believe, both the Jew and the Greek. May we go into this year seeing those starfish and telling them the good news, and Lord, let God rescue some of them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great love for us and your great patience with us, and you're so willing to forgive us. Thank you for all of this and so much more. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those, maybe they're watching online today, maybe even here, I don't know, but maybe sitting in some other church, that haven't got squared away with you by faith. I pray for their salvation. I pray that they would turn to you, recognizing I'm a sinner who needs a Savior, recognizing it is Jesus who shed his blood for me. It is Jesus, the God-man, the incarnate God, who died for my sin. He is Savior, and it is Jesus I need to put my faith and trust in. Father, I pray that would happen all across this nation this year, millions of times. I pray that it would happen in this community and our communities thousands of times, because your people We are not ashamed of the gospel. We can stand up like the Wesleys and the Whitfields and the Apostle Pauls and proclaim, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. And may we tell our stories. And may you use our stories of who we used to be outside of Christ to who we are today in Christ and encourage somebody else to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Go with us this day, Father. Grant safety in the cold. Be with those families that have lost their loved ones. Tomorrow we will do another funeral. Father, we commit that to you. We commit those families to you and ask for divine intervention as we come together tomorrow, but beyond. Comfort, encourage, strengthen these folks, Father, we pray. Save and rescue these souls that are amongst us in our communities are more precious to you than the starfish on the beach. Use your church, O God, to be your hand, your voice, your feet, Lord Jesus, and do your bidding as we tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Go with us today, this week, and this year, and may you be glorified, O God, in all of it. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.